On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Early this year, the 9-member State Senate Committee on Universities and Technical Colleges, it held informational hearings on 3 UW campuses, Green Bay, Stevens Point, and Whitewater. And then in April, a hearing was held at the Capitol to look at the technical college system's budget and programming. Republican State Senator Roger Roth of Appleton chairs the committee that produced a nearly 100-page report last month that calls for sweeping changes to the UW and how higher ed is delivered in our state. What are your thoughts on restructuring and further consolidation within the UW? It's 800-642-1234. Senator Roth, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Glad to be here.
Well, good morning. How would reorganizing the UW system into these 4 geographic regions plus UW-Madison, how would it improve how campuses operate?
Well, I think the important thing to do, and this is really what the committee was trying to do when we had those 5 informational hearings in Madison and across the state of Wisconsin earlier this year, we were trying to figure out exactly what those challenges and pressures that the university system was facing. What were those? Let's dive in deep on those, try to analyze and understand them so we could make recommendations to help put higher education on a sustainable path here going well into the 21st century. And the first hearing we had was actually on demographics. And we had experts from across the country and within Wisconsin come and talk to the committee and present their findings. And it was pretty startling when you looked at what our demographic trends were here in Wisconsin, and for that matter, the Midwest, compared with the rest of the country. And I think what it told us more than anything as policymakers is that we can't continue to go on as we are. If you look at the numbers over the last decade, the university system lost 15,000 students. Now, depending how you look at in how you were to pick out of the 12 regional comprehensives in UW-Madison, 15,000 students, you could shut down 3 college campuses, not even notice a difference.
So
when you look forward into the next decade and a half, the same thing. We're looking at losing a potential another 15,000 students. So our mindset was we don't want to shut down a campus, and I will tell you, Kate, I don't think there's political will in the legislature to close a particular campus in Wisconsin. So if we're not going to do that, how are we going to bring forth the reorganization, the savings to make this system, which was created back in the 50s and 60s for a higher volume of students, how do we make that function today? And that's where this reorganization, this regionalization plan came into being. And our goal was to keep Madison alone, but then with the remainder 12 regional comprehensives, group those into regions so that they could come together, save on HR, save on administration, and then save on program array in the courses that they offer their students. And those savings that we generated, we could reinvest into the system.
And so what you're saying then is, you know, demographics of Wisconsin's aging population is what's really driving these, you know, what is in this report, that we're not going to be graduating the same level of high school students and Wisconsin is aging?
That's correct. The demographic issue will be the number one driver of all policy decisions in our state over the next 20 years. And the sooner we as policymakers recognize those pressures and what that's going to do, not just to higher education, it's going to happen to K-12 education. It's going to happen to every other aspect of our budget, from transportation infrastructure to Medicaid spending. We've got to be able to look at it in the lens of that. And we in the committee, when we saw that at the beginning, we recognized that we had to find a way to address this in this reorganization with regionalization seemed to be the best fit.
We're talking about a proposal to restructure the UW system with Republican State Senator Roger Roth of Appleton. What questions do you have for Senator Roth about restructuring the UW? What do you want to know? Do you work for a UW system college? Would you support further consolidation of administrative operations? 800-642-1234. So you expect at least 15% in savings from consolidating administration, and then you would want this money to be put toward student affordability and faculty pay increases and expanded online offerings. Why are you, why are those your top funding priorities in the savings?
Well, I think it's important that the message we wanted to put out there for everyone was we're going to find these savings, but then we're going to do what we need, what's necessary, which is to reinvest those into the system, because the overarching goal of this committee report was to make sure that higher education was on a sustainable path to take it deep into the 21st century. And we recognize that if you look at UW-Madison, faculty there are getting paid less than their other Big Ten peers. If you look at faculty throughout the rest of the UW system, they're getting compensated less than the national average. But you can't have a robust system that's going to attract the highest talent if you're not able to pay the faculty compensation, which is comparable with their peers. So some of it would be driven into that. But I think the second most significant thing you would find in this report, second to the regionalization, was our commitment and determination to have the UW system move into the digital space. So I mentioned earlier about how we are losing students, and you had mentioned about the high school's drop in high school students. You're correct. When you don't have high school seniors graduating, you don't have high school seniors who from Wisconsin who can go into and enter the UW system. There's one place we can go to a pool, if you will, that we can fish in that we haven't been yet, and that is the digital space. Our 12 regional comprehensives, they can compete with each other for students. It's not going to change anything. I just drove through Oshkosh. UW-Milwaukee has a heavy billboard campaign there trying to attract students to UW-Milwaukee. We can try and steal one region to another. It's not going to have the effect we want. But if we can move into the digital space, take the University of Wisconsin brand and put that out there, in a robust online infrastructure to meet students in rural areas and non-traditional students, both within Wisconsin, our nation, in the world, who don't have access to a four-year institution today, a quality four-year institution, that is a place where we can attract students and make up for that shortfall. And it's a key component. And part of the savings, actually the majority of the savings that we're looking to drive from this regionalization, would be poured into building out that online infrastructure to make sure that we can continue to compete going into the future.
But for students who still want that on-campus experience, this report, you said, you should look at eliminating or consolidating little use programs, but also develop or expand in-demand programs. What about students who want that on-campus experience and it is not offered there in their community? Would they have to go somewhere else?
Well, we are trying to preserve, if you look at this report, we're trying to preserve the four-year campuses and the brick-and-mortar institutions, because I do think those play a pivotal role I do believe, even through the COVID environment where people have become more accustomed and used to receiving their education over a digital platform, I still believe, and maybe this is just because I'm older, but I still believe people are going to want that in-person experience. So we're trying to preserve that. But the beauty of the regionalization is that you have universities have programs, they offer majors. When you offer a program, for instance, a foreign language, you have professors, you have all the infrastructure that goes along with making sure that you can deliver that product to the students. But some of these majors only have a couple of graduating students. We got a list from the UW system. Some only have one, So all this infrastructure for a very few amount of people who are graduating with it. The beauty about the regionalization is that when the universities are coming together, these little use majors, we won't eliminate them, but by allowing one of the campuses which within that region to focus on that, but yet still offer it through building out our digital space, we'll have the capability to provide those programs to the other students in that region. It really is the best of both worlds. It allows us to capture those savings. It allows us to make sure that students can have that on-campus experience, but then at the same time, it allows us to offer a better array of programming to the students who are in our system today.
We're talking with the chair of the State Senate's Higher Ed Committee, Roger Roth, as we look deeper into the report published last month that recommends further restructuring the UW to reduce costs system-wide. Are you a UW student or alum? How would you feel about schools reducing the variety of course offerings and focusing more heavily on fewer subjects? Do you think consolidation into geographic groups would save money and make sense? 800-642-1234. Back for more State Cap in a moment on the Ideas Network.
Here's our weather forecast for today. Patchy fog in the north and northeast. Cloudy skies around the state with a chance of rain. Central Wisconsin could see some thunderstorms. We'll have highs ranging from the mid-40s in the north to the mid-70s in the south. On Wednesday, continued cloudy with a chance of rain in the north and rain likely for the rest of Wisconsin. Highs in the 50s and 60s. On Thursday, partly sunny with a chance of rain for the central, northern, and northeast parts of the state. Showers are likely in the south. It's WPR.
Coming up this afternoon on Central Time, what kind of training do police get on when and how to use force? A new study looks at training in police agencies around the country and whether or not it has an impact on officers' actions in the real world. That's today on Central Time.
We're talking about a proposal for regional consolidation of the UW system and what that would mean for higher ed. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. State Senator Roger Roth chairs the Senate's Higher Ed Committee. Earlier this year, the committee held a series of hearings to look at enrollment trends and demographics, to look at online learning and dual enrollment programs, and free speech issues. The committee published a report last month. One of its recommendations is reevaluating academic programs at each UW campus, except for UW-Madison. Have you looked at the report? 800-642-1234 to join in. State Senator Roger Roth is with us for 10 more minutes. So, you know, what other states might be models for how the UW system could consolidate, could redesign itself for the future?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at Purdue, they went in, they bought a company actually called Kaplan, which was an online digital platform that was, you know, providing accreditation in schooling and in different areas to individuals. And they incorporated it because they recognized how far behind the eight ball they were in the digital sphere. I'm not suggesting that the UW needs to go out and buy an existing online platform or infrastructure. But we really highlighted in this report the necessity to start moving in the direction of getting the 12 regional comprehensives in UW-Madison pulling together to move into that digital space. This is about survival. It really is. As I mentioned before, lost 15,000 students in the last decade, projected to lose another 15,000 in the next decade or decade and a half. This is about figuring out a way to compete and have students in the future. And that's why the regionalization, the build out into the online space seemed so ripe here for discussion in Wisconsin right now. If I could just also add, the report highlighted a bunch of other areas too, some things that we're actually doing a pretty good job at, I think, but need to grow. One of those would be dual enrollment. It's a program that not every university or high school system within Wisconsin utilizes right now, but there are some great examples like the Nina Joint School District in the Fox Valley. They partner with UW Oshkosh. They offer their students a choice of over 20 courses, which they have to take in high school anyway, many of them to graduate. But because they're partnering with UW Oshkosh and their high school teachers are getting certification from the university, when their students take them in high school, they apply and get college credit for them. We have many high school seniors in that area who are graduating with a semester of college already completed. So working to do what we can across the Wisconsin so that our high school students can aggressively pursue these dual enrollment options and show up to either a technical college or a UW system with a semester of their training and their coursework already done. This is how we position our young folks to have both an affordable college experience, but yet allow them to get in and get out and get into that quote-unquote real world as quickly as possible. So there are some things, again, that I think are being done, great ideas we have out there. We just want to expand them and put a little more emphasis behind them.
I'm going to look at affordability and tuition in just a moment, but I want to get a sense on the feedback you've received, because UW System President Tommy Thompson called regionalization the wrong direction. And among his concerns, he said it would threaten community connections and it would, you know, tamp down local fundraising that is facilitated by campus leadership. What are your responses to the system president?
Well, I love the work that he's doing, and I have a profound respect for him and what he's been able to do over the last year at the UW system. You know, I think there are some, anytime you propose a new idea and anytime you try and change the course or direction, it's met at times by hesitation. And I don't think that's unwarranted. I think it's important that we scrutinize all policy ideas here to try and arrive at what the best thing is. So I welcome that. The report, you know, it offered the idea, it offered, you know, the basic structure and framework of it, but then it really fell on, we're calling on the Board of Regents to work collaboratively together to put together a plan for what this regionalization could look like. So there's a lot of details out there that haven't been flushed out yet. And my goal here over the next half a year is to work with the Board of Regents, work with the system, work with concerned stakeholders to try and build those out so we can give people a better idea of what that would look like. I will tell you, our paramount goal here is to make sure that the 12 regional comprehensive schools, that they don't lose their community identity. I want the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh to have that identity in that collaboration that they have right now with their local area. We want that to continue, and we want that for all the other 12 regional comprehensives. So that's our goal going into it. And my goal, I guess I want to go out there and work hard to try and satisfy the critics and answer the questions and see what we can do to put higher education on a sustainable path here going into the 21st century.
We are discussing a proposal to restructure the UW system with State Senator Roger Roth of Appleton. You can join in. What questions do you have for the state senator about restructuring? What do you want to know? 800-642-1234. Your report calls for ending the UW tuition freeze that started in 2013. And last month we saw Joint Finance Committee advance a state budget plan taking that step to unfreeze tuition. Why should the freeze end?
Well, we had informational hearings that we had, and I'll just say for anyone who's listening, those are on YouTube right now. We have a state Senate Sergeant at Arms office. You can go if you have got the time and listen to those. Some of them are pretty fascinating. Also with the report, if you look me up on Google State Senator Roger Roth, my official website there will be a link there that you can find to actually get a copy of the report for yourself if you care to read through it. I'm sorry, Kate, I mentioned that and then I forgot your question.
That's okay. We're talking about tuition.
Oh, the tuition freeze. Yeah. So with the tuition freeze, when we went through, we had a professor from UW-Madison came and gave us a presentation on this, and it was very enlightening. I wasn't around in the legislature when they first brought the tuition freeze forward, but at the time, I think it served a purpose. There was a fund that the system had of unallocated dollars. You know, some call it a slush fund, whatever, what have you, but about $1 billion there that they didn't even know what it was there for and what it was to be used for. And at the time, the legislature forced them through a tuition freeze to buy that down, which they have. But today, when you look at the UW system, that's not the case anymore. And then as this professor is walking us through this, the tuition freeze, what it really is doing is it's hurting the people that we want to help. When you look at someone with a college education, they're going to have a half a million more in lifetime earning after they pay for college than someone who just has a high school degree and maybe goes into the trades or into a different field. They choose not to go on to high school or on to college, which is great. We don't need everyone to go to college. So the tuition freeze is really the blue collar workers, the trades workers, those in construction and other fields that don't have a college degree. They're subsidizing someone's four-year college education, even though they're going to have a half a million more in lifetime earnings after they pay for their college. So just from the economic standpoint of it, it didn't seem to make sense anymore in 2021. And I think the legislature is there as well, that now is the time. You know, I advocated in the report not for a full removal of the tuition freeze, but to put some brackets there so we didn't see, you know, 7, 8, 9% tuition increases. The Joint Finance Committee chose not to put that in there and just fully leave it up to the border regions. And we'll have to see how that works out. But I do think it was a good decision to finally allow that tuition to float with what the market is calling for.
State Senator Roth, thank you for joining us.
Appreciate it, Kate. Thank you.
Roger Roth is a Republican state senator from Appleton. He is chair of the Senate Committee on Universities and Technical Colleges. And for disclosure, WPR is a service of UW-Madison. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Joel Brennan, Secretary of the State Department of Administration. That's after a news update on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the Vision 2030 strategic plan now from the Department of Administration that aims to transform state government to be smaller, more efficient, and better aligned to serve the needs of Wisconsinites, end quote. The 16-page plan released last week is part of the Evers administration plan to consolidate state office spaces, reduce the state's physical footprint, and plan for roughly 40% of state workers to hit retirement age over the next decade. Do you think Wisconsin should shift to remote work for many of its employees? Should Wisconsin renovate its old office space? 800-642-1234. Joel Brennan is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Administration. Secretary Brennan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Kate, it's great to join you again. Thanks for having me.
So looking at this Vision 2030 plan, you know, with the state's office buildings needing hundreds of million dollars in repairs, what is wrong with these buildings?
Well, really, I think what this is a culmination of what capital planning is and the way that you build infrastructure. So, you know, around in the late 1960s, 1970, there was a significant building boom for people who are coming into the state workforce for the UW system. And those buildings now are 50 years old or more, and they're showing their age. And frankly, over time, under some administrations, there has not been the maintenance and upkeep of those buildings. And so it's time for us to really look at this. And we've learned lots of lessons over the last year from COVID-19, but none of this is an immediate response to just the COVID-19 pandemic. It really is a reflection of where we are in our state's history and kind of where we need to go over the next 30 to 40 years.
What have you learned from COVID and the pandemic in terms of your state employees working from home?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, there are significant numbers, thousands of state employees amongst the state workforce who never left their posts. And those would be like people who work in the correctional facilities, people who work in health facilities or in the veterans home. So really, you know, thousands of people were working from where they've always worked. But there were thousands more who very quickly had to learn on the fly. And we as a workplace needed to give them the tools to be able to work from home. And frankly, we learned lessons, some of which were expressed most recently of people in places and in some departments being able to be as efficient, if not more efficient. We learned that things that heretofore had been required to be done in person, whether they be bid openings or other things that we have done traditionally in person, those things could be done virtually. And we learn lots of lessons from that. And those are lessons I think that we want to keep and maintain and look for. How do we operate more efficiently moving forward?
Then there's this staggering statistic: about 40% of the state's workforce will be in retirement age over the decade. What issues could this cause for the state?
Well, it's the same issues that any employer has in the private sector or the public sector. You know, we have about 35,000 people who work across the enterprise in the state of Wisconsin, about another 35,000 who work for the UW system. And so, as a large employer, we face demographic challenges. And it's not just the state, but overall in the workforce. I think I've seen statistics that the number of people entering the workforce now between 2020 and 2030 is about half of what it was. It's increasing by about half of what it did between 2000 and 2020. And so, those are things that ensure that we're going to have to be more flexible in the way that we look at the workplace. We're going to have to offer opportunities for people to be innovative in the way that they approach their job. And I think it also is incumbent on us at the state to look at the overall real estate footprint, the buildings that we manage and maintain, make sure that they're well maintained, but also where we can shrink that footprint and be more efficient in the way that we operate. So, there are those are stark, and in some ways they're alarming, but they also provide kind of a once in a generation opportunity for us to revisit these things and to reorient both the workplace and the workforce in ways that can have real positive impacts for the state moving forward.
And it seems also that through this report, you would be less Madison-centric, looking to disperse state employees around the state. What impact would that have?
Well, I think one of the recognitions and what Governor Evers has done since day one is try to express that there is richness across the state of Wisconsin, regionally, ethnically, culturally. And as an employer, we want to make sure we're inviting all of that and making sure that all of that can contribute to what makes Wisconsin strong. And so, Wisconsin Madison will continue to be the state capital. It'll be the seat of government, and that won't change markedly over time. But as remote work opportunities are more available, they become more viable in the coming years. It also opens opportunities for us to employ people from across the state who otherwise, and in the past might have had to go to Madison, didn't want to relocate necessarily to Madison, but offer opportunities for them that can add to the vitality, add to the richness, add to the innovation of the way that we approach things across the state. And again, I think we're trying to do that as a state employer, as an employer as a state, but that same thing is happening across the workforce, whether it be in the private sector or the public sector.
We're talking with Joel Brennan, who is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Administration. We're looking at a strategic plan for state agency buildings and how state services are delivered. You can join in. Do you think Wisconsin should shift to remote work for many of its employees? Should state office buildings be renovated, or would you rather let employees work from home? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Secretary Brennan, is the state having problems in attracting good employees? I mean, as you look at all of these different options going into the future, especially with remote work, would that attract better employees?
But I think we are always looking for opportunities to make the state a more attractive place to work. The first thing I would tell you is that, the last 14 months have been excruciating in any number of ways for employees and people all around the country. And no one has been unaffected by COVID-19. But I can tell you working alongside people over the last 14 months who have done things like delivering test kits around the state or setting up testing infrastructure or, you know, doing all the infrastructure around the delivery of vaccines. I think the state workforce and people who work in the state have stepped up in unbelievable ways. And I'm proud to be part of that. But as we move forward, you already mentioned the demographic challenges that we have, where 40% of the state workforce is going to be eligible for retirement. That is years and years of knowledge that'll be going out the door in the next several years. And we always need to find ways to be able to invite more people into that. And we can't compete all the time on things like salary. We need people who are mission driven, but we also need to understand that in the workplace now, we have learned lessons, not just during the pandemic, but even preceding the pandemic, about remote work and the flexibility that offers, the opportunities for innovation. And as an employer, I think we need to recognize those, and we need to ensure that those are part of what the state offers moving forward.
You know, some critics would argue that remote work is inefficient or not enough work is getting done. Productivity wanes. What would be your take on that?
Well, I think there's evidence to the contrary. You know, I think there certainly are great things about culture and being able to get together. And so I don't think as an employer we ever would want to totally do away with those opportunities. But there's evidence over the last year plus when we've been forced into a much wider remote work operation than I think anybody was necessarily prepared for in the public or private sector 14 or 15 months ago. You know, at the Department of Revenue, they've been more efficient in terms of responsiveness to local units of government when they've had to over the last 14 months. There have been things related to the Department of Motor Vehicles where we've been able to move things online and be able to operate far more efficiently. And so, you know, there are those opportunities that are born of necessity that we've been able to realize. And I think there are lessons to be learned from that. But you know, what we're doing, it should be informed by the experiences of COVID-19, but nothing that we do based on the capital outlook for the state and how we spend quite literally, you know, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars on capital infrastructure. That's for 30 or 40 years that we're doing that. It's not just based on what's happened over the last several months, even though it should be informed by all of that.
How might Wisconsinites feel the shift? Would services be more online? Or what might a person living in Wisconsin feel with these changes?
Yeah, well, as part of the governor's budget, he introduced the notion of doing more one-stop shop when it came to online services. You know, state government is not unlike other places. Oftentimes, it has traditionally operated in silos where you had to go to a different place, to a different website to pay your taxes or to get your vehicle registration stickers or to do things for the Department of Natural Resources, get your state park stickers. All of those things were in separate places. And there's an effort to try to make sure that we can do those things efficiently online. There's also an intention over time as we move to potentially a smaller state physical footprint to look at regionally, how do we bring some of those resources together and how do we offer opportunities for people across the state who don't live in the major metropolitan areas to go and get those services that they need in person in a much more efficient manner. And so, you know, all of these are things I think that we're not only wrestling with in the state of Wisconsin, but there are state governments across the country are doing this. And we're all, by necessity, looking to operate as efficiently as we can, make the best use of taxpayer dollars, but also deliver the best possible services that we can as well.
Joel Brennan, Secretary for the State Department of Administration, with us as we look at what remote work will look like for state employees in the future. Would you like to see state workers spread out more around the state, or does it make sense to have them concentrated in Madison? Evers proposed a new plan for the Historical Society Museum. Do you think we need a new museum? What do you want to do with aging state office buildings? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with DOA Secretary Joel Brennan about the vision for how to deliver government services in decades to come. The Evers administration wants to decrease overall office space in state facilities by 10% over the next decade, with a reduction also in the number of state-owned facilities. It wants to increase the number of state employees who live outside of Madison. How do you think? What do you think about this strategic plan for delivering government functions? Join in 800-642-1234. DOA Secretary Joel Brennan is with us for about 10 more minutes. You know, a lot of the state's office buildings are located in Madison, the capital. What is the plan for consolidating and reducing the footprint?
Well, the plan is actually already underway. And so we had an opportunity at the outset of the Evers administration to look at one of the larger agencies, the Department of Children and Families. And we were able to, in Madison, relocate them from the Jeff 1 complex to the Tommy Thompson building, which is just off the square. But that and the consolidation of other offices that they've had in the Madison area is going to save the department and save taxpayers over $600,000 annually. And so, you know, it's those kind of steps that we have started to do. And really what we're looking at in Madison is an opportunity to shrink the footprint. There are probably seven state buildings in and around the state capitol, right around the square in Madison. Over time, over the next decade, we've laid out a vision that would reduce that by a couple of buildings, probably make that a complex of more like five buildings over time. It open up the buildings, the Department of Administration building, the Department of Health Services, those bookend Monona Terrace, and they look out onto Lake Monona, open those up for private redevelopment opportunities over time. And so, you know, this is not just about saving taxpayer dollars or providing really good service, which I think are the core functions of state government, but it's also how do we take a real vibrant economy in Madison and allow there to be additional growth, whether it be in housing or in the hotel community around the hotel and convention community. So there's opportunities to do that. And I think what we've tried to lay out and what the governor has done since day one is try to envision a state capital that can be everything that it needs to be for state taxpayers, but also allows for Madison to grow and to evolve in really exciting ways over time as well.
Do you think by shifting that real estate to private, private options, would that increase revenue to the state even on a short-term basis?
Well, it could. I don't think that we will build the state's future on just selling off state real estate. But I do think that there could be some opportunities that are there for some short-term revenue. But there's also opportunities for the local community in Madison. You have, very large office buildings there that to date are paying little to no real estate taxes there. And so there's opportunity for that kind of private redevelopment and the opportunity to partner with local government in ways that I think are exciting and provide opportunities for the long term.
Part of the plan also calls for building a new historical society museum, and this museum has long been planned to be on Capitol Square. How is that plan changing?
Well, I mentioned the Jeff 1 complex, which is on East Wash, kind of just as you come up the hill towards the Capitol. And we've outlined a vision to knock that building down, to relocate the Historical Society Museum there, to reimagine a smaller state office building there. But also, I think we've also done some work to look at relocating a Veterans Museum there, another place that's located on the square. So you would have an opportunity to just reimagine what is a signature site in Madison for a really great mixed use project where you get thousands of visitors coming to the Historical Society Museum, the Veterans Museum, having that complementarity, but also being able to on that site still deliver important services through the Department of Workforce Development, and really just making the highest and best use of what is really terrific real estate and making sure as part of that, then there's opportunities to redevelop the current spaces that are inadequate. And with the Historical Society, they have spent more than 20 years trying to envision and trying to realize their vision of a future home. And so we're excited that that's a possibility, that they have done some really great work in fundraising privately to do this. We're also committing state resources toward that. But these are the kind of, I think, innovative uses of state facilities and state real estate that are going to pay dividends for the state for years to come. And I think it's really an exciting aspect of it. Now, you know, that's the good news. The challenge of that is we put in the state's capital budget about $4 million of additional planning money for this facility that would include this. And that'll be taken up by the Joint Finance Joint Committee Finance. In the next few days. And there's a challenge, you know, just that $4 million for continuing forward progress on that, I think, is at some risk in the current capital budget. And so, you know, really, I think we need to, these should be nonpartisan issues about how do we make sure we can do some great things, shrink the footprint, make better use of state real estate, and also provide long-term homes that are going to, you know, celebrate our state's history, but also celebrate veterans and their contributions to our state. You know, it seems to make great sense. And so the legislature can join us in moving those things forward.
Joel Brennan is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Administration. As we look at a long-term plan that would reduce the state's physical footprint, increase remote work options for state employees, with your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Patrick is joining us from Kenosha. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Interesting conversation. I have a little problem with dismantling what's been built up over the years with the buildings and the structure that was made for our government and the things the taxpayers had paid for and expect. Now, if you are not having people there and they're working remotely at home, is that going to be as efficient? And is that really what we want? I know the pandemic has taught us new things and ways to use the internet. But should we be so dependent on the internet? I think we've had a great government in Wisconsin, and I would be hesitant to see things dismantled in a way that will just be kind of a reaction to the pandemic. I know we've learned things.
And Patrick, I want to get Secretary Brennan's response here. Go ahead.
Sure. And it's a great question. And I guess it's the difference between, Patrick, what you would consider a dismantling and then a thoughtful, careful analysis of how you do this in the right way. And I think there will always be a place for people to work inside state buildings. There will always be a place for the UW system to operate in a way where there is a physical presence. But you have situations now like what happened at Van Nuys Hall on Easter Sunday this year, where two large concrete panels fell off the building. And, you know, luckily there was no one around, but that's a 50-year-old building. There are similar buildings around UW campuses that are in need of replacement. So it's not just about dismantling. It's really about strategic investment in the way that we look at these things and get the most productive use out of them. They have served Wisconsin wonderfully for the last generation, but now we have an opportunity and really an obligation to look at what is the state workplace going to look like over the next 30 to 40 years, and how do we deliver those services in the best way? We don't want to compromise on any of that service delivery. In fact, we want to improve on it. And there'll be some physical presence for doing that, but there's also other ways and opportunities for us to look at this that I think are going to be exciting for years to come.
You mentioned the legislature's Joint Finance Committee scheduled to take up the governor's capital budget tomorrow. What do you expect lawmakers to do with the plan?
I hope that they look at this in a thoughtful way. Oftentimes, I think in the last several biennia, in the last several budgets, we've had places where the legislature just looked at an arbitrary number and said, well, this is too much spending. And so I think there needs to be a recognition that there are these hundreds of millions of dollars in deferred maintenance. There are opportunities for strategic investment that are going to pay dividends over time. And we really need to look at things differently, but not just be informed, not just kind of have a knee-jerk reaction of what happened over the last year, but make the decisions that we need to make that are going to shape what the state workplace looks like for the next 30 or 40 years. So I hope that's the way that they approach this and they look at this this week and moving forward.
Secretary Brennan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Joel Brennan is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Administration. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.